Future of Finance podcast, where finance finds its future.
Hello, I'm Dominic Hobson, co-founder of Future of Finance. My guests today are Christophe Lepitre, Chief Executive Officer, and Valerie Gilles, Chief Commercial Officer at Isnez, the blockchain-based funds marketplace whose goals are to cut costs and risks and increase transparency in the interactions between asset managers and asset owners. Christophe, Valerie, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Dominique.
Thank you. Hello.
You've both had successful careers before joining Isnez. Can you tell us a little bit about what exactly in your career paths led you personally to your involvement today with Isnez? Perhaps you first, Christophe.
Yeah, fine. Thank you. Thank you, Dominique. I worked for a long time for asset management companies. And at that time, most of our clients were insurance companies. And back to 2016, and thanks to Jean-Pierre Grimaud, who was at that time CEO of OFI Asset Management, and who is still CEO of OFI Invest, we started to have a look to the blockchain technology and trying to find out if it could be useful for the asset management industry. So we came to the conclusion that it could be very interesting for fund distribution. So what we did is that we launched the project with not only one asset management company, but five others, so six different asset management companies, to design, to build, and to finance the solution as it is now.
Valerie, I know you were at CACEIS for a while. What brought you to Isnez? What was the attraction?
Well, in fact, it was a combination of several things, I would say. But yes, as I mentioned, I worked many years for CACEIS, this well-known leading asset servicer, and different responsibilities, both on the commercial side, network management side, etc. And there was a time when I wanted to experience something new, join a new adventure, new type of company, new challenge. And this is where I've already had heard about Isnez before joining, but this was also, I would say, a combination where Christophe was looking for a chief commercial officer, and this is where I stepped in. Mm-hmm. So planet alignments, I would say.
Now, this might seem a trivial question, but what does the name, Isnez mean anything? Does it stand for something?
Yes, actually, it means easy business. So it's not very elaborate, I'm afraid.
No, it's very, very vectoral, that. It's very to the point, that. It sounds like easy business, doesn't it? So, yeah.
Mm. And we can even now hear no business, no business.
Yeah. Which is... But Christophe, as you were saying, you mentioned the date 2016. Now Isnez dates back to that period, 2017 specifically, I think. What's happened since then?
Well, many things, actually, because we started to the first test was carried out in 2017, so it's quite a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And then we organized workshops with many other asset management companies, not only the actual shareholders, but many of them, roughly 20 of them, because the aim was to define the project with everyone's expertise and ensure that the solution would suit as many people as possible, actually. So it was a very interesting period when we asked people to collaborate, and they did so. Very interesting. Then, of course, some time was needed to develop the first solution, the MVP. And the first transactions took place in March 2019. That was on money market funds. But at that time, the ISNES was not authorized as in an investment company. It was done later, was done in June 2020. So what we did is once we received this agreement of an investment company, we passported it to Luxembourg, to Ireland, and we grew the business till 2021, when Generali and Apicil, so one of them being a large European insurance company and the other one, Social Protection Group, became shareholders of ISNES. Was a very interesting period because we started to shift the marketplace towards needs of the insurance, life insurance companies a little bit, not taking into account only asset management company needs, but also the investor needs. Was very interesting. And then back to 2021, Candria became shareholder of ISNES as well. Was a very interesting move because Candriam, as you know, is not a French asset management company, but more a European one, having operations in Ireland, in Belgium, and in Luxembourg.
And one of the specific features, I would say, of ISNES is our industrial partnership model. Through the structure of our shareholders, as Christophe just described. And that industrial partnership model, together with the growing maturity of the market with regards to blockchain technology, allowed ISNES to accelerate really its development since end 2021. So we are now engaged in a momentum whereby the asset owners attract the asset managers on the marketplace, and vice versa. Another important milestone to mention is in August 2022, when ISNES made a very important move, migrating on a new blockchain technology to switch on Hyperledger Fabric. And this allowed us to develop new products, of course, and work not only as a marketplace operator, but also be able to be a tech provider. With regards to the evolution of our shareholder structure, in April 2023, we had another major asset manager joining ISNES, both as a client and as a shareholder, that is Rothschild & Co. So we were also very happy and proud of that other step forward. Now, between end 2022 and end 2023, the trend is still expanding and growing. The assets registered on the blockchain and the number of operations got almost multiplied by three. We doubled the number of referenced asset management companies during this past year, and a lot more to come in 2024, I promise.
And in terms of investors, can you give a sense of how many of them have been engaged?
Yeah. It's so far at the end of last year, we had 18 investors, 36 asset management companies, and 18 billion euros of assets under register. That's what we are going to publish, actually.
Right. And Valerie, you mentioned this partnership model. These major asset managers are becoming shareholders and presumably bringing their business to the firm. Is that, am I right to understand that's the flavor of the business that you're doing now in terms of the issuers, as opposed to those 18, or I think it was 18, the figure you used, Christoph, of investors engaged. So yeah, give us a flavor of the types of issuers and investors that are using Isnez today.
Isnez today is used by investors such as insurance companies, corporates for their daily treasury investments, and asset managers themselves, right? Where they invest in their own funds, or whether they are more on an open architecture type model. And on the issuer side, all types of asset managers, all sizes of asset management companies, and also whatever type of fund domicile they have. So really from UCITS to real assets, to real estate, sorry, private assets, whether we're talking about French, Luxembourgish, Irish, etc. And of course, private assets is a growing part of the business for business right now. In October 2023, Isnez won the IM Tech Day award for the best innovative solution for private assets. So.
Let me talk a bit now just about how Isnez works from a technical point of view. And my first question is this: am I right to understand that Isnez at the moment is hosting tokenized versions of existing funds? In other words, those funds continue to exist in their conventional, traditional form. So there's a tokenized version of an existing fund available. You're not hosting purely blockchain native funds, i.e., these funds only exist on the blockchain ledger.
No, we are, in fact, we are really supporting both type of funds. So tokenized version of existing fund shares, as you mentioned, Dominique, that perfectly coexist, by the way, with the traditional historical channel. Isnez being like an on-chain co-TA, we would say, especially on the French market, for example. But also supporting fully tokenized funds, which are mainly dedicated funds, let's say. And in any case, what is important to have in mind is that the asset managers don't have to create a specific fund or a specific ISIN for the fund to be tokenized.
And just to be clear on what you mean by dedicated funds, these are like managed accounts, are they, or dedicated to one investor?
Yeah, dedicated to certain categories of investor. Can
Okay.
be as well managed account.
So you're supporting funds in both traditional and tokenized forms, native and non-native. Now, those non-native funds, does that not mean that the entire paraphernalia of service providers that support traditional funds, I'm talking here of transfer agents, custodian banks, fund accountants, payments banks, do they not remain in place? And if they do remain in place, does that not make it more difficult to fulfill one of your objectives, which is to try and implement cost savings for asset managers and investors?
For the time being, of course, I mean, not of course, but for the time being, cost savings are mainly at the benefit of the investors. But we need to keep in mind that we are really at the beginning of all the potential that the solution can offer. And if you focus from that perspective on the operational efficiency and transparency brought by the solution, in the end, it appears much cheaper for the issuer to collect through a peer-to-peer solution rather than through an over-intermediated process, especially when it comes to cross-border distribution. So, of course, some of the actors remain in place, but really the straight-through model is has a lot of future in front of it.
Okay, we'll come back and talk about the benefits to the issuers in a minute, because that's an important topic here. Christoph, if these funds are available in this traditional and tokenized form, does that not create a problem on the registration side? Do you not have to reconcile the on-chain register with the off-chain register? And if you do, is that a difficult thing, or is that an easy thing?
No, it's not complicated. Actually, as you know, you've got two models in Europe: the model with the CSD, French and German market, and the TA model. So if you take the model with the CSD, actually an asset management company can have several centralizing agents. So in this case, obviously someone has to consolidate the global register of holders. But the traditional asset servicing company do that very well. They've done that with us for many years now, 3 or 4 years. So there is no problem around consolidating the global register. Even we've got, in some cases, management companies do it themselves. And as far as business is concerned, we are very flexible. So we adapt the workflow, case by case. So if asset management company want to consolidate the register themselves, we can do that. If they want CACEIS or BNP or Société Générale to do that, no problem.
Okay, so the register is not a technical obstacle at all. But when you talk to asset managers, do you detect among them there's a strong appetite to issue funds in native tokenized form, or are they indifferent as to whether it's native or non-native? Do they see big cost savings and advantages in issuing funds in tokenized form only?
Not only, actually, no. We, so far, what we see is that asset management companies consider ISNES as an additional distribution channel, but non-exclusive, actually.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can we talk a little bit about how the trades are settling on ISNES? I mean, I'm asking here really how the cash side works. Is tokenized cash available on the ISNES platform alongside these tokenized shares of funds, or is the cash side, the settlement side, or the cash leg of settlement still being handled off-chain in the banking system? How does settlement work?
Right. No, unfortunately, it's not yet available. The cash is not yet available on-chain. So the cash today, the trade is settled using cash when it's received by the fund or paid to the investor, then the trade is settled. Because ISNES is a member of the SWIFT network, so we make that part, I would say, very traditionally. But we took part of an experiment of CBDC some time ago. It was 3 years ago with the Banque de France. So we had the opportunity of implementing a solution of settlement on chain, and we are going to participate to the next round of such an experiment with the Eurosystem. So it's BCE, the European Central Bank, who is testing now this opportunity to settle tokenized assets with a tokenized central bank money. So we are going to participate in this experiment in September or in October this year. So we are not in a position of settling the cash on chain, but we are very much preparing ourselves to do so.
Right, work is in hand to get cash on chain. You've got live projects to work out how to make that service available. Valerie, how are tokenized fund shares being serviced? I'm thinking here of things like collecting and paying dividends to fund holders.
Well, they are actually fully serviced from corporate action to income collection and all the life cycle, I would say, of the funds. Maybe in a more flexible way, as the asset managers has the ability to manage their corporate actions directly through ISNEST, for example, and maybe in a more straightforward way, as ISNEST is also a tool to share data from the asset owner side KYC that they can share with all the asset managers they are working with. And from the issuer side, they can share any static, dynamic, or regulatory information with their investors.
Now, could we talk a bit about what issuers, asset managers in particular, get out of working with ISNES? People talk about ISNES as a distribution platform. They talk about it as a marketplace. But it seems to me, looking at what you do, the powerful proposition you have for asset managers as issuers is that this is an additional distribution channel for their funds. And perhaps you can talk about that a bit, but I'm wondering in particular what sort of investors they reach through ISNES that they couldn't otherwise reach. Is it not just an additional distribution channel, but actually a channel to additional investors?
Well, probably both, but the question is how do they reach in, rather than what they could not reach without listeners. So we are really logisticians. This is what we need to keep in mind. So the investors can invest and manage in a more direct way, in a more efficient way, in a more transparent way, also for issuers, and at reduced costs. So it's really a question of how rather than what.
Okay, Christoph, ISNES is built on blockchain technology. The thing about blockchain that everyone understands is that all the parties to it can share the same database. And the major benefit of that is, and this applies to issuers in particular, is you can reduce the number of reconciliation processes because you get rid of that sequential process. Everyone's looking at the same data set. Now, I assume that's true of the issuers and investors that are using ISNES. Am I right to think that?
Right, you are right. Yeah, this is absolutely true. Actually, it has been identified as a major benefit by our clients, because issuers and investors share the same database. Reconciliations are native, so this saves a great deal of time. For example, when calculating the trailer fees, as you know, it's difficult and complicated now. But actually, in addition to that, as maybe Valérie mentioned before, investors have access to static and dynamic funds data directly provided by the asset management companies and at no extra cost. So the model is quite interesting. Facilitating the exchange of data between issuers and investors.
Now, you've used the term dynamic data, and we've used these terms marketplace, distribution platform, and so on. But at bottom, what's going on here is people are subscribing to funds and people are redeeming from funds. And that obviously has cash implications. You've got to pay to buy the fund, and you want your money back when you sell the fund, if you like. Is the service that ISNES is providing improving the cash management for the issuers? In other words, are they able to predict better how much money they're going to need to fund redemptions and how much money they've got coming in from subscriptions, and therefore they have a less need to borrow money from banks? Is it good for cash management what ISNES is offering?
Yes, it is, because actually you as an investor or as a asset management company, you get access to your order book. And in this order book, investor can place orders on the next net asset value point or any future date. And they do it actually. So that means that on their side, managers can consult this order book at any time and see the future flows actually. So saying that, you understand that it's easier for them to manage their liabilities and to anticipate significant outflows or inflows in their funds.
Valerie, when asset managers are tokenizing funds, they can presumably do that themselves, or they can use some third-party tokenization engine. I'm wondering, is operating what I call a tokenization engine a business that ISNES is in, or wants to be in, or sees as adding value to its customers? How are issuers doing it now, and do you think you should be helping them do that?
Yes, of course, we do think we should be helping them doing that. And this is what we already do, in fact, because as mentioned previously, when I was talking about our shift on a new blockchain technology, we are both operating as a marketplace operator and as a tech provider. So the time has already come when we can offer a tokenization engine. And we equipped our first asset management company last summer, where ISNES plugs its tokenization engine, let's say, behind the web app made available by the asset management company to either its client indirect or financial advisor. And this is what we call the B2B2C model, in fact. And this is being rolled out in addition to the B2B marketplace model.
So they don't have to use your service, but they can. It's available for that B2C option.
Absolutely.
Let's talk a bit about the benefits for we talked a lot about the benefits to issuers. What about the benefits for investors? And this is something we see all over Europe, this complaint from investors and their distributors, their advisors, whether it's banks or IFAs, private banks and so on, is the very early cutoff times for placing trades. Is one of the efficiencies you offer, Christoph, it's probably a question for you, is one of the benefits you offer that investors can trade for longer during the day, maybe even pay and get paid earlier?
No, yeah, but definitely not longer, but sooner, actually, because as you know, transfer agents or asset servicer, they do generally apply a comfort time limit for taking orders. That could be 30 minutes or 1 hour or sometimes much more when it comes to distributions of Luxembourg fonds to very far countries. But with ISNES, it's not the case anymore, because an investor may subscribe at any time until the prospectus limit. So this is a benefit which is very much appreciated with the corporate clients, and so but not only, some life insurance companies do appreciate very much the possibility to put orders at the last limit.
And what about this other long-running issue, is that you pay your money today, the fund you're buying isn't actually priced till tomorrow, so you don't know how many shares in the fund you're going to get, because it's not till the following day they actually calculate the net asset value. Is a movement towards real-time pricing of those fund subscriptions something that you're looking to deliver at ISNES?
Well, with ISNES, it's very easy to shorten the settlement delivery cycle for bonds or any other financial instruments. So far, we are around T plus 2, T plus 3, or for money market funds, it can be shorter than that. But at any time, we can make a very quick, on the same day, delivery and settlements cycle. But for that, of course, the whole industry needs to adapt.
Yeah, you can't change it on your own, can you? But
no, we can facilitate, actually, yeah. Because, for example, it's a very good question, actually, when you think at the T+1 regime concerning the US and Canadian funds on the asset side. The question is, can you reduce the length of the settlement cycle for that type of funds easily? Maybe not for traditional asset servicers in the ecosystem, but with business it's very easy, actually.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you think that because the underlying can settle a bit earlier on T+1, the underlying assets, actually you can move the NAV calculation forward as well? That would be an advantage, I think that's what you're saying.
If the administrator of the fund is able to do that, it would be very easy on our side.
Yeah. The fund accountants have to do the work, of course, yeah. Valerie, one thing I noticed is that you're offering investors the chance to place orders for future execution. You're offering as a kind of futures market here as well. That struck me as counterintuitive. Why is that service attractive to them?
Well, yeah, it's a real order book that is offered to investors, and it allows them to fine tune the forecast of their investments and then reinforce the financial optimization. So, of great interest, as Christoph was mentioning also previously.
Mm-hmm. Now, investors, of course, are generally buying their funds through in continental Europe through a bank. In other markets, they're using IFAs. These we call fund distributors. At the moment, if I understand it, your network is really just the issuers, the asset managers, and the asset owners, if you like. The intermediaries, these fund distributors, are not part of the network. Does it make sense for you to work with distributors as well as with asset managers and asset owners?
Yes, absolutely. It fully makes sense because either as a user, I would say, of the B2B marketplace solution, or the tech provider solution on a more B2B2C model with probably a more dedicated field of investment. So both make sense and both can easily coexist.
You mentioned earlier, Valerie, that you've made a lot of progress on the privately managed assets side, done some very interesting work there. And clearly investors, particularly the institutional type, now have a very large and growing appetite for those alternative asset classes. I'm thinking here not just of privately managed equity, privately managed debt, credit, but also of things like real estate. Tell us a bit more about how you're helping them to access those asset classes.
Business helps them by offering the same STP process for private asset, let's say, in a general manner, private equity, infrastructure, real estate funds. Then for use, it's exactly the same way. So it waives any paper process, any manual process, and therefore reduces all the operational risks linked to that type of operational process. Of course, waiving also the poor added value for the teams to, you know, just print a subscription order, have it signed whatsoever, or send it by mail. So all this together increases really operational efficiency and added value within the teams.
So you're really offering an infrastructure where one doesn't exist at present for that class of asset, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk a bit about the technology now. As I said at the outset, and this is a blockchain-based platform, and despite all the improvements that have been made with blockchain technology over the last decade or so, and there are improvements almost every day, the speed and scale of classic blockchain remains a problem. Here you are operating in a pretty high volume, high value market. How are you working with blockchain to achieve the speed, the scale, to support the fund volumes of transactions, fund value of transactions when using a blockchain technology? How have you overcome those constraints of speed and scale?
Well, it's a very interesting question. We at Isnes, we made the choice of a private permissioned blockchain because it's cheaper and faster to operate than public ones. So this choice was made a long time ago, even if we change the underlying technology. We'll talk about that later, probably. But even at the beginning, the choice was made towards a private and permissioned blockchain.
You also mentioned earlier, Christoph, that you'd switched to from you started with a settled technology back in 2017. You switched in 2022 to Hyperledger. What was the reasoning behind that decision? What were the benefits of making that switch?
There were several benefits. The first one was to design and to develop our own blockchain layer. The second one was to adopt a more common underlying blockchain technology, and Hyperledger was Fabric was nice for that. The third benefit was to cease to pay Settle for their blockchain layer, private one. And but on both cases, we had more or less the same technological choice. So a limited number of nodes, a very simple consensus mechanism. And those choices actually offer a very good, an excellent performance and a very good level of security. And on top of that, a very low carbon footprint. So for those reasons, we are very much attached to the choices we made in terms of new blockchain technology that we implemented last year. Or the year before, actually.
Can I ask how your asset managers and asset owners interact with your technology? I think you mentioned memory surge. You've got these 18 investors, you've got 30 odd asset managers. Do they control their own nodes on this Hyperledger network, or do you control those nodes on their behalf?
We Isnes control all nodes on their behalf. I remember that we offered them to get an access to a node if they wish to do so. But actually, so it's a possibility now. It's still a possibility, but it that has not been on so far.
Because they don't want to, it would involve some investment in new technology for them, and it's much easier for them to get you to do it on their behalf, I guess. Is that the logic?
I think they are happy with the present technology situation, and they don't want to take the risk of operating one node, probably for security reasons, because today our nodes are very much protected behind the different security systems, because the nodes are with AWS, and it allows us to achieve a very, very, very good level of security, actually, which maybe wouldn't be the case if one node was operated by somebody else.
You mentioned AWS, but you're working with Azure as well, I think I'm right to say.
Right, as a backup. Yeah.
Okay, so Azure is just a backup. So the interesting thing is that you're in the cloud. What are the benefits of that for the issuers and the investors?
Scaling and security.
And they don't, if you upgrade, they don't have to worry about that either. It just happens automatically. The service just changes and they enjoy it, right? Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Valerie, we talked about Isnes as a technology vendor earlier, in relation to the tokenization engine service. Tell me a bit more about being a technology vendor. Does this mean you're kind of selling your technology to third parties as well, by which I mean fund distributors, fund platforms? Is that
Yes,
part of your business?
Yeah, absolutely. Any third party that would need that kind of technology to support their businesses and their operational efficiency. As me mentioned previously, we started with asset managers, and we are currently rolling that out to other type of stakeholders, specifically thinking of TAs, for example.
Now let's look a bit at how difficult it is to reinvent an industry. You've clearly made solid progress. You've got assets. You've got clients from both sides, both the subscription and the redemption side. But what are the, and this is for you, Valerie, you must spend time talking to, most of your time talking to potential clients. What are the problems that you run into? What are the excuses they offer you for not wanting to get involved immediately? Is it a question of budget? Is it a question of time, other priorities? Is it, it'd be too difficult technologically to change our business processes? Do they still complain that blockchain technology is all about cryptocurrencies and that's a disreputable business? You know, what are the obstacles you run into when you're talking to potential clients?
Well, I've really observed a shift, I would say, since I joined Isnes, where firstly, maybe it was some still remaining confusion between what you mentioned just now, between crypto and DLT technology, etc. And that really, I believe, is behind us right now. I mean, there's, and this is where one of the guides that published AFG, Association Française de Gestion, saying asset managers, for example, do not question themselves anymore about the fact that they will use or implement blockchain technology at one time, but just when and for what. So this is where we stand now. So I would no longer talk about obstacles anymore, and the potential reluctancy towards the technology is no longer there, clearly. So the main excuses probably is, as always, a challenge of time, availability. The decision cycles within our industry are very long. Of course, they can be shortened when we address, for example, a tier three asset managers. I mean, depending of the size of it, of the organizations, it may be quicker or longer, but still, patience and perseverance has always been the case for any major technological innovation to ramp up. So this is here we are.
Yeah, and having enough funding to support your patients as well.
Absolutely.
We talked a bit about issuers. Obviously, they want to reach investors, but what are the obstacles for an investor getting involved with Isnes? They clearly want lots of funds on the platform. So there's a chicken and egg problem here, isn't it? You need funds to get lots of investors, and the issuers need, you know, lots of investors to get lots of funds. It's a conundrum
yeah, right.
which you must face all the time. But just
it's,
from the investor perspective, what are they looking for, and what do they not find?
It's clearly, as you mentioned, a chicken and egg stuff, but this is not an obstacle. I mean, when they join, they also attract and want to attract, of course, the asset managers to reference their ISINs on the platform for all the benefits we mentioned previously. So it's really pretty much the same as the issuers: time, decision making processes. And really on both sides, I now see the conviction of the usefulness of the solution. So it's just a question of time.
Can I raise the dreaded D word at this point, by which I mean disintermediation? Now, Isnes is connecting fund issuers, asset managers, and fund investors, asset owners directly. In your interactions with fund intermediaries, and I'm talking here not just of fund accountants, transfer agents like your former firm, Casa East, like Societe Generale, as Christophe mentioned, you know, CSDs are involved in the registration process, so Euroclear France is in this business. Then you've got these fund order routing platforms like Vestima, like Fundsettle, like Calastone. Do those fund intermediaries, let's collectively call them fund intermediaries, do they worry that ISNES is going to disintermediate them either now or at some point in the future?
I think all the stakeholders now see the interest and the fact that we are no longer in a type of proof of concept stuff, but really the application of the technology on everyday's business and the fact that it's growing, etc. So I believe ISNES is seen rather as an opportunity to make the market moves toward better innovation, greater operational efficiency. And these stakeholders question themselves about how could they use that into their own process organization to enhance the service they offer to their clients. So really an opportunity to upgrade the processes, to modernize the industry, both from the seen from the historical players as a chance to be part of the change in the end.
Now, Christophe, Valerie's mentioned how business makes it possible for these intermediaries to do what they're doing already at lower cost, more efficiently. But are there actually whole new service opportunities which this technology can create for them as well? Businesses they're not in today, but could be in future if they got fully engaged with ISNES.
What we were mentioning before concerning the liabilities management, so the knowledge of future cash flows is very important for the asset manager, and usually asset services can use this information, if we provide this information to them, to build value-added solutions. For example, impact analysis some outflows or some inflows on the asset, and liquidity management, but with a better knowledge of the holders. You can work on that. You can do some historical analysis on that, depending on the type of investors and on what you see on the market. So you've got a large number of possibilities of new services once you get a very good accurate information on your holdings.
And I think on top of that, it's also all the added value services a fund intermediary could set up and develop, having the perfect knowledge of the holder structure of the fund. I mean, when you know who distributes what to whom, how much, which investors, when, etc., you have all the necessary data to really fine-tune your client approach and commercial strategy,
right,
which
so
is currently lacking today in the funds industry globally.
Okay, so the data which the ISNES model throws off creates gains, concrete measurable gains in areas like liquidity management, but it also enables you to improve your sales process because you have a more accurate picture of who's buying what at particular times. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. The habits of your client, in fact.
Yeah.
Just as it's the case in mass distribution, for example.
Now you're dealing obviously with regulated issuers and regulated investors, and they like to deal through regulated with regulated services as well. Now I noticed that ISNES is regulated not just by the AMF, which I would have expected, but by the ACPR, which is part of the Banque de France, What explains that? Why do you need two regulators? I mean, it's good for clients, but why do you need both?
Because we want all of it. In fact, it's not really two regulators. We have one regulator, which is the ACPR, and the IMF acts as a supervisor.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. And what are the responsibilities of those two of the ACPR? What is that? How does that? How do they regulate you? What are they looking for? What do you have to report to them? What do you have to do to comply?
Many things.
Yeah. That's why I was surprised that the Valerie said we want to be regulated by everybody.
No, 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 no.
That sounds like a lot of work.
I disagree with that, actually. No, no, ACPR is the natural regulator. As ISNES being an investment company, we are definitely regulated by the Banque de France. AMF is part of the game because they give their advice on the so-called programme d'activité, so the way you operate. Because actually, most of the French investment companies are part of asset management groups, and they usually provide services to the group. So that's why we talk to both of them, actually.
Okay.
But on a regular basis, I would say it's definitely 100% ACPR.
Mm-hmm. Now, France was very early into the field of crypto asset regulation with the PACT law of 2019, and ISNES was set up as a crypto asset infrastructure under that law. What did the PACT law allow you to do, or allow ISNES to do, after you were registered under it that you weren't able to do before?
No, sorry about that, but ISNES is not a crypto asset infrastructure at all. ISNES operates under the so-called DIP regime, but you're right to say that it was put in place in the PACT law in 2018, actually. Uh-huh. And the DIP regime is, you know, the dispositif d'enregistrement électronique partagé. That's a DLT, actually. That's a French acronym for DLT. And what's interesting with this piece of regulation is that it allows ISNES to, at the same time, receive investors' orders, but also to hold their positions in the blockchain in place of their historical custodian, and finally to keep the fund register. So we do three services at the same time. We provide those services to investors and asset management companies, and we are able to do that because of this piece of regulation, the deep regulation.
Okay, so it's actually a very important piece of regulation from your point of view, because it allows you to do what you do, which, had it not existed, you wouldn't have been able to do it. I get it, right. Okay, and I'm glad I asked that and cleared it up. It's clearly crucial. Now, something which every institution operating in this field has to do these days, of course, is conduct these KYC, AML, CFT sanctions screening checks under this the global regime set up by the Financial Action Task Force, I think it is. So how's that process working in the case of ISNES? After all, you've got issuers interacting directly with investors here.
Mm-hmm.
How do you cover that risk for them? Valerie, you're nodding. It's a question for you then.
Yeah, indeed. We were talking previously about the fact that ISNES is also a tool to share data. Information, whatever type, this is clearly part of that. The issuers benefit from a one-stop shop approach, having a direct access to a fresh and accurate investor KYC information, documentation, and analysis, not just only the documentation piece. So ISNES performs the KYC on behalf of the issuers. All the due diligence, including MIFDU adequacy checks, Some of the processes are being delegated to DKYC, which is a Deloitte solution, thinking about sanction screening, for example. And all this combined collection of information and analysis is made available directly to the asset managers. So this is really a gain of time also for the issuers. And on the investor side, also a gain of time and efficiency, as they don't have to disseminate by email bits and pieces of information to all the issuers they're working with. They share it once through ISNES and to all the asset managers that are connected.
Mm-hmm. And that outsourcing involves Deloitte, you said?
Yes, absolutely.
As you look across the regulatory landscape, do you see obstacles to the growth of your business? Or the PACT law has obviously been very helpful in getting you going, but are there obstacles that it erects as well? Is regulation a problem? And do you see any regulations? You can just say no if you want, but...
No. I mean, it's changing all the time, actually.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in the UK, I understood that you received a green light to funds tokenization last November.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, on the asset management side, so if the question is can you tokenize funds in Europe? The answer would be yes, it's possible to tokenize funds in Europe, almost everywhere. On the investor side, it depends. Because if you take the example of a very regulated company like pension funds or life insurance companies, you may have in certain countries still, so in the domestic regulation, still obstacles to actually hold tokenized financial instruments in a wallet. So, but we see as well some movements in that field. I don't have a full picture of what's going on in Europe, but in two or three countries, we see what's going on now, and I can say it's going to in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Well, since you're talking about other jurisdictions, perhaps we could wrap our discussion up by just looking to the future growth of what you're doing. And you know, as you say, you're already supporting funds in jurisdictions outside France. So you mentioned Luxembourg, you mentioned Ireland, and to what's that doing to your existing customer base? Are you the issuers you're attracting in those locations as well, or are you still attracting exclusively French issuers at this point?
No, we are not attracting exclusively French issuers, hopefully. Though at the time being, most of the issuers available on ISNES are domestic, but the portion of non-domestic is growing significantly. And this will obviously continue this year and onwards. For various reasons, of course, the adoption of the solution that is currently ongoing, the chicken and egg mechanism we were mentioning previously, and also the fact that ISNES extended its passport to Austria, Belgium, and Germany just last year. So we are really in that trend.
Mm-hmm. And on the investor side, you're looking to attract non-domestic investors as well?
Same. Uh-huh. We already have non-domestic investors using ISNES. And this is also the type of investors that will continue to grow on the marketplace. And the potential is really huge, especially when we have in mind, I would say, the basket of funds that are available within the European market.
Now, Christoph, when we talked about technology, about Hyperledger and all that, you said that you'd overcome the scale problems with and speed problems with blockchain by opting for a private permissioned solution. Can you imagine a future in which ISNEZ goes public? You become a public blockchain, you've got your users controlling their own nodes. Again, at the moment, you're controlling the nodes for them. Do you envisage a future where the business is much more open and much more in the hands of its users? Or is that so far in the future that it's not worth talking about at this point? Can you imagine being public and your users controlling their nodes?
No, not in the near future. Mm-hmm. For the same reasons, because so far public blockchains, as you know, are slow and expensive. And maybe I could add that in the state of the present regulation, mm-hmm. it wouldn't be very easy.
Mm-hmm. And Valerie, can we go back to the very interesting point you raised about the distinction between being a marketplace and a platform? Do you envisage the fund markets evolving away from the principal-based model it has at the moment? You know, you buy your shares from the issuer, you sell them back to the issuer. Actually, a genuine secondary market could replace that, in which investors buy and sell shares among themselves, and so don't need to go back to the issuer. Is that a future which you think ISNEZ could find itself supporting? In other words, you're running a secondary market for fund shares.
Absolutely. This is my favorite topic.
It's my second to last question. Yeah.
And so, yes, we are working on it. We believe really DLT is a very, very relevant technology for operating a secondary market, especially when we're talking about private assets.
Mm-hmm. Christoph, you were nodding there as well. Did you want to add anything to that?
Yes, actually, what I confirm what Valérie said. We've been working on it for some time because we, as you did, we came to the conclusion that the need was real in the industry, and specifically with the development of LTIF 2.0, where you can have that kind of secondary market.
Now, I promise this is my last question. You mentioned, Valerie, in relation to the tokenization engine, that you were developing a B2C component in your business, but most of what you're doing is it's an institutional business. It's B2B. Do you, as you look forward to the ways in which ISNEZ might evolve, does that range of possibilities include supporting purely retail business, retail investors, retail buyers and sellers? Or do you envisage remaining institutional for the time being?
For the time being, remaining institutional, but we support already retail buyers and sellers through the model we discussed previously, like the B2B2C supporting the B2B part. But I mean, the potential, as mentioned, is so huge. Our roadmap is so rich. I mean, the future opens any field and any possibilities. So, but not in a very near future, for sure.
I ask you that question because as I look back 20 odd years to when the first what we now call fund platforms came along, they were going to be fund supermarkets. And retail people were going to buy funds like they bought groceries. But in fact, they evolved into being service providers, really, to the existing distributors, I suppose, and became, in effect, another layer of intermediation. So it's interesting that you think that actually this new technology, which you're pioneering here, might well evolve in the direction which we thought it should have gone. Some of us thought it should have gone maybe 25 years ago.
Absolutely.
Anyway, you've both been very kind, very patient, and spent lots of time with the members of Future of Finance. I'd like to thank you both very much for sharing everything you've learned and you've done with us. So thank you very much, Christoph Lepitre and Valerie Gilles. It's been a very interesting conversation. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dominique, indeed.
Thank you very much, Dominique. Thank you.